Welcome to the Alex Katahakis podcast, the show where I sit down and speak with inspirational, thought-provoking authors, therapists, and sex experts to discover ways to help you live a happy, healthy life. Today, I had an awe-inspiring conversation with Heather Smith, CEO of Storyfile, which you can find at storyfile.com. Heather has created an amazing proposition that I think is going to revolutionize the world and the way we relate to each other and our elders and people that have even passed away. Through the use of artificial intelligence supporting video, she's created a platform in which we can actually have conversations with people who aren't even there or, as I said, who have even passed away. I hope you stay tuned and enjoy this conversation with Heather Smith about how you too can preserve your legacy for future generations. Well, Heather, it's really nice to meet you. I was super excited that somehow you came across my desk, and I thought, what a great and fun opportunity to talk to you. And I was thrilled that you're actually here in LA so we could do this in person.
Yeah, I was excited we could do it in person as well.
Well, when I first heard about you and saw you was on 60 Minutes when you talked about Storyfile. And so I wonder if you can sort of just tell us or repeat again for our listeners what Storyfile is and how you came to conceptualize this idea and what about your background had you even getting to that point?
So Storyfile is a new technology that allows everyone to tell their story. It allows anyone to learn from another individual, actually, simply by having a conversation. And one of those people happens to not be there in person. So it gives us a lot of flexibility to meet people, to get to know them that we might never have had the opportunity to meet in person.
So how does that work? How does the technology actually work?
You are prompted to answer a bunch of questions, over 2,000 questions.
Oh, wow.
That you would choose what you wanted to answer. Mm-hmm. You just answer what's pertinent to you at the time in which you do it during your life. You can do it multiple times. You can do the whole thing. You can add to it as you get through different experiences and different life cycle events.
Yeah.
You know, how cool would it be if your kids at 25 could talk to you at 25?
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
Just there's a lot of things that creators can do or that people can do
right.
with it. And you can just do it all in one go and do all 500 questions. Leave it for your family. Leave it in your will. Make it public with your family. Invite friends and family to interact with you right then and there. Or just leave it and as a kind of an Easter egg for them to find.
Hmm. So how, if I'm video recording myself through Storyfile, how is that different than if we just set up a video camera and I videotaped myself?
So, A, we've done all the work for you. So we know exactly what questions to ask you in order to tell your whole life story.
I see.
Secondly, you can't go into that video and ask questions.
So then how does the video or the holographic version of myself know to answer those questions?
That's our secret sauce.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's some kind of technology, right?
Yeah, it's what we've built is completely online. It's based on natural language software, natural language processing. It's activated with speech recognition.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's artificial intelligence, and it's making it human.
Wow.
You know, it's we've done a tremendous amount of work to make it accurate and make it conversational rather than just a keyword search, for example.
I see.
So what you're going to do is you're going to trigger the mic to listen to you, similar to Siri.
Oh, okay.
And you ask a question, and then you will answer.
Okay. So into the microphone, into the software, there's the question, and then
it streams down.
My pre-recorded, I see, comes in. So that then makes sense when you talked about that you're actually having a relationship with some avatar or version of it's that person.
It's a video recorded version of that individual. I tend to shy away from using the word avatar.
Okay.
I know it's easy for people to make a connection.
Right.
But you are actually talking to a video of the real person.
Of the real person.
There's nothing manipulated or animated or characterized or, you know, made
different
from something else. We place a lot of value on having an authentic conversation. And, you know, to be frank, if I did this with my grandmother, I wouldn't want her voice or her story to, you know, and to tell her, oh, well, in 25 years, you know, someone could change it.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Someone could take your words out of context, mm-hmm. for example. So everything that we do is preserved as is, as you've recorded it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that really is a living legacy yeah. of someone.
Yeah.
So where did you get this idea?
Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of work with Holocaust survivors.
I see.
And I was interviewing a lot of them mm-hmm. for some exhibitions that I was putting together. And I realized one day my children would never have those conversations.
Mm.
So I said, okay, what would it look like if we could maintain those conversations forever? I absolutely know nothing about technology, which I think it actually helped me
uh-huh.
because I didn't know what was not possible.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, you know, and you just keep going and mm-hmm. you can't say, this has got to be able to work somehow. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow we have to do this. And we have to solve it. So the questions I kept getting asked by the public when I would take the Holocaust survivors out and have people talk to them was, wow, oh my God, can I do this with my parents? Can I do this with my grandparents? Can we do this for the founder of our company? You just bombarded. Like,
wow.
That was the question I heard the most. So we stepped back and we said, all right, if we were to make this ubiquitous, what would have to happen for people to be able to all afford it? Everyone would be able to have a story mm-hmm. file, you know, hopefully in 10 years, everyone will.
Right.
But it would have to be automatic. It'd have to be automated. The system would have to allow you to do it in real time. So the ultimate goal is for everybody in the world to have a story file.
Wow, that's...
And do it themselves.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
How would they do it themselves then?
We had to create a platform that everybody could use the cameras that they all have. So we all have a camera on our smartphone.
Right.
We have cameras on our computers, uh-huh. our laptops, whatever we've got. That's pretty much what people use to video themselves every day now.
Yeah.
It's not the handheld camcorders or right. things anymore. So although you would be able to use those if you did want to, you can use webcams, mm-hmm. you know, any camera that you have on you.
Right, but the easiest thing, obviously, is to turn on your phone or sit
mm-hmm.
in front of your laptop
yeah.
and push record, essentially,
yeah.
off a site and
yeah.
start answering the questions.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So when do you imagine or when will this platform be available to the general public?
We're launching this product, Storyfile Life, it's
uh-huh.
called, on October 4th, because we want to make it the gift for Christmas
uh-huh.
for 2021,
yeah, sure.
so that everybody can get their grandparents filmed, their parents,
right.
everybody in their family can do it when they're all together, either for Thanksgiving or the Christmas holiday.
That's
or
fantastic.
Whenever, or they can even just give them, you can email your grandmother and say, okay, you know, go onto this site, I've ordered, you know, mm-hmm. put together your whole script, just answer all these questions.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
So it's Storyfile
Life.
Life?
Mm-hmm. Storyfile.com you can go to and,
right.
and find out. Just go to the Storyfile Life.
Right.
Press click here and you could try it out for free
mm-hmm.
if you want. See how it works. It's super easy.
Is that currently then? You can do that?
As of October 4th, you will.
Oh, so then you mentioned also on the Storyfile website mm-hmm. that you could potentially use this, not just in the way you're talking about, but you give the example that if you wanted to talk to Steph Curry about his
mm-hmm.
shots,
his jump shots.
Could actually talk to him about how
mm-hmm.
he does it.
Yeah.
And so is that available currently or?
So, that's one example of a use case.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to be working with a startup. It's an app called Versus. And what they're doing is interviewing these celebrity sports individuals. They videotape them and they take you through lessons in a specific area, then whatever their specialty is. And then you're able to, they're using the Storyfile back at the platform to enable you to have a conversation with Steph.
Wow.
With Mr. Curry. So like companies like Walmart use our backend, our platform.
Right.
They license it and they create their own story files.
I see.
They can do story files with all of their curriculum. You know, you could have a store manager in your pocket. You can use it for corporate training. Mm-hmm. You can use it for online training. Kids could talk. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if kids could talk to some of the best teachers in the world?
Yes.
Every single one of them.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, the application of this is kind of mind-blowing as you're talking about it. Like, I could contact any expert in the world in my field to ask questions instead of having to maybe slog through a 400-page book or get it from three people that trained with that person to go
and
directly
you can
have it to
the
source.
All on your own website. You can embed all the story files in your website.
Uh-huh.
And people that, you know, go onto your website can have conversations with anyone.
So. Well, this is a revolutionary technology.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds infinite in its applications.
Yeah.
What do you...
We're building a platform. We're building a medium.
Uh-huh.
A new medium.
Right.
And it's called conversational video.
I see.
And it's just the fact that you can actually converse with video content. That's it.
With anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone, any video place, content. Anytime.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Alex. If you like what you're listening to, I encourage you to check out my book, Mirror of Intimacy, available on Amazon, along with my other books. Also, be sure to visit www.centerforhealthysex.com to learn more about the services we offer and subscribe to our daily Mirror of Intimacy meditation emails.
So what do you see as sort of the long-term, I don't know if goal is the right word, but ramifications, or what is your vision for how this is really potentially life-changing?
Everyone will have a story file of their own, which means 20, 50, 100 years from now. I mean, think about it. We could have a conversation. If story file had existed when Einstein lived, let's say, we could have a conversation with him.
Right.
If it had existed when JFK was alive, we could have a conversation with him. Millions of kids around the country studying U.S. history could have a conversation with him. Anything. So going forward, we don't know who those iconic people are going to be and
come
up to be.
Yeah.
So in 50 years, 100 years from now, we will be able to have conversations with anybody.
Well, I was thinking today, just driving over here, that I was going to meet you. I thought about this time we're living in now with this pandemic, which is unprecedented. And I thought, God, what would it be like if we could talk to people during the Spanish flu and ask them, what was this like for you?
Right.
How did you survive
it? Absolutely.
And the parallels and what we might learn from them, given how we're just kind of bungling through this right now.
Crowdsourcing eyewitness testimony. Huge, huge impact on so many levels. If we had had StoryFile on 9/11, you could instantly put out and take and crowdsource everybody, what everybody was going through at that moment in time.
Right.
Even now, it's the 20th anniversary, and we want, for 9/11, we want to put out a script that allows everybody to answer, you know, just 5 or 6 questions.
Mm-hmm.
About that day and what you were doing and how you felt and how it affected you, but then also give a chance to the thousands of first responders, the thousands of people that actually survived, the families of those people, and not. It's expensive to do narrative and oral histories. Mm-hmm. It really is.
I'm sure
to just sit down, and it takes time. So what if you had a system like StoryFile where you could put out an entire script and have hundreds of thousands of people answer in a single day, even rather than taking years to develop an oral history project. So those are the kinds of things that we want to do for just moments in time also.
Mm.
And I think of it as almost an archive of humanity, and you're just taking temperatures, you know, and people know what they're going through. The refugees in Syria that we, you know, just witnessed, less than a year ago, they can tell us things about what they're going through that we might not be listening sometimes.
Mm.
But if enough people tell that same story and give us a picture of what they're going through, then we listen.
What makes me wonder if we could have listened to what was happening to the people in Vietnam and Saigon, if we would have reenacted this crime against humanity with Afghanistan this past weeks, if we had done something different, if we'd actually really known.
I think it also, it's the sheer volume of it.
Yeah.
You know, when you get so many people to answer those things, it makes a difference rather than just hearing, you know, 5 or 10 eyewitnesses, because it's easy to dismiss sometimes. Oh, that was one person's experience.
Right.
When you've got a collective, it's impossible. You can't dismiss it. And especially if you see trends in that collective.
Yeah.
You know, and certain people will say certain things, and it's the truth. I mean, it's a true fact. You can't ignore it. And I think it goes a long way to us not repeating history like we tend to do.
Right.
Especially in this country. Yes. Past, post-war, post-World War II. We've made a lot of the similar mistakes. And I think that if you had had something like this and a collective archive of people's comments and their feelings at the time, or what they reflections even later and what they had gone through, we wouldn't make the same mistakes. And we would be able to treat people differently also. Like, you can treat post-traumatic stress differently, knowing exactly what people go through and what it takes to overcome it.
Sure.
So
I was just thinking about the Holocaust as you were speaking, and how so many people, yourself included, have worked unbelievably hard to preserve those stories and for people not to forget and to remember and to have multiple voices. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that's been incredibly unwieldy over the years, all the cataloging. And
It's this group of people, you know, they term everyone coming out of World War II as the greatest generation.
Yes, yeah.
And they truly are remarkable people. The survivors, the Holocaust survivors, are, I see them, they're somewhat unique in that they went through a traumatic experience, and yes, they weren't the perpetrators, they happened to be the victims on this case, but they managed to overcome and build amazing lives.
Yeah.
So how do they do that? You know, and it's, they've been out in the public talking about their experience in mass more than any other group of people that I can recall over the past 60, 70 years.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
And so our impression of what happened in World War II has been shaped entirely by their stories and hearing them talk about it. So that to me was incredibly valuable on the one hand, but not only that, since they have been in the public and since they have been talking about it, and they're asked to come back year after year, you know, in schools and libraries and institutions all over the country and the world, it means something to people to hear and be able to connect with that story and hear that, and then to carry it with you and make choices. And it affects your identity. It affects who you are as a person, what you value.
Right.
And we just didn't want to lose that. So just the act of being able to have those conversations and continue them with them is a gift. So why wouldn't we let everybody do it? Because everybody has great stories. You think you don't.
Right.
Sometimes people think, oh, nobody wants to know about my life. Oh, it's just normal, whatever. I guarantee you, everybody has wisdom that is lived on this in a life.
Yeah.
At all. Everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I know that from where I sit, that everybody's got a story. And you know, I think in my late 20s, early 30s, I had a neighbor that was a Holocaust survivor, and she was Spanish, but she also spoke fluent Greek. And the Hasidic Jews moved to northern Greece, or her family did. Not Hasidic, I'm sorry.
They were Orthodox. They were Sephardic.
Yeah, they were Sephardic. They moved to northern Greece, so they spoke Spanish in the house and Greek outside. And when she came home one day from school, the Nazis had taken her family, and she was in the camps, and she was sterilized, and she had a number on her arm. And she reminded me of my maternal grandmother. So I moved into this apartment building, and she lived upstairs from me. Yeah. And I talked to her endlessly about her stories.
Yeah.
And I never, ever would have had an up-close personal relationship with the Holocaust,
mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, the Nazis certainly impacted my life because my father's island was overtaken by the Nazis in Greece, and he grew up under the Nazi German occupation.
Wow.
So there was intergenerational transmission of trauma with me, but she was a different link to it.
Yeah.
And she was wickedly funny, and her sense of humor saved her. Yeah. She worked as a maid in the houses. So
incredibly resilient stories.
We can learn from. Incredible story.
Yeah.
And she would be on the buses, and sometimes these Latino young men would say to her, "Hey, what's that tattoo?" And she would say, "Oh, it's my phone number." She was like 80 years old.
I love it.
So the cultural mashup, and,
yeah.
and you're right, the lessons we learn from up-close personal contact with people. And it sounds like Storyfile will allow this en masse from what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the vision.
It's so interesting because you are so warm and connecting, and you spend all this time connecting with these Holocaust survivors, and yet you're using artificial intelligence to connect us.
Yeah.
And this is sort of the transitional world we're in now.
Yeah.
Even as therapists, moving to Zoom, which previously I would have thought it's impossible to do therapy that way, because I want to feel you and see you and make eye contact. And yet it seems to be working okay for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think you're also bridging this leap in a big way.
Yeah. It's making artificial intelligence more human.
Ah, thank you.
And it's, you know, we didn't know if it would work.
Sure.
When we started this. I had no idea if it would actually do what we thought it would do.
Mm-hmm.
If people would actually be able to connect with a video of an individual.
Right.
And until I saw a little boy, 13, actually interact with one of the Holocaust survivors, that interaction, that was the moment that I knew it would work.
Wow.
Because he had actually connected with the gentleman he was talking to.
Uh-huh.
And so it does work, and you can feel as if you've actually had a conversation with someone and met them. It's been quite a journey, you know, and trying to get people to understand that they can do this is also part of the journey, because we're moving behavior just like Zoom moved behavior and affected your field. We're going to move people into a world where they can actually interact with video content.
Mm-hmm. This is fascinating to me as you're talking, because there's something evolutionary about this. Because often I think of technology, and a lot of us do, with all the problems that it's creating for us, you know, depression and addiction and sort of teens and isolation, things like that, because they get lost in it.
Yeah.
And then artificial intelligence, we're all kind of skittish about and scared about. But as you were talking, I thought, you know, one of the things that makes us uniquely human are these big brains that we have, that this prefrontal cortex allows us to take leaps with abstract thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I have an image of a person in front of me who's dead, who I don't know, and I'm having a conversation with them, I can suspend that judgment pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I can connect, and I can have visceral feelings about it.
And we've seen it happen.
Well, that's what you're saying. And so that is going to evolutionarily shift us by leaps and bounds, I think, in ways we don't know. But this really is stretching, or maybe utilizing, the capacities we always had.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be using them in ways we haven't previously.
I think that's the beauty of technology and what it allows you to do. It's not the technology.
Right.
It's what you do with it
and
what it allows you to do.
So in the world that we're living in now with, you know, social justice, all the inequities between genders and races, and how do you imagine, or do you think about how something like Storyfile might help to heal some of these divides?
Difficult conversations.
Yeah.
Storyfile allows you to ask those difficult questions and you know you're not going to hurt that person. That person's not going to judge or get angry with you.
You won't get into a fight.
Right. So it allows you to get past all that and get past all the you know, the hate and the language that just people use on Twitter sometimes and things like that and say things to people. But having conversations with a story file allows you to just really take a moment and think, listen to what a person actually has to say.
Right.
You can listen to it again. You can ask the same question and listen to it again. You know, it causes you, or it gives you a chance to have those difficult conversations and hopefully learn a little bit about that person or a little bit about what something might mean to another person if you say it to them.
Right.
That you might not even be aware of.
Yeah, I mean, as you're talking about it, I thought, yeah, of course. I mean, you could have a conversation with someone that was completely diametrically opposed to your socio-political ideas, different religion that feels extreme to you, and really listen to understand.
Say people from different cultures, different
like, who is this person and why do they think that way? And can I have compassion and empathy? It would be much easier with a story file than a person, like you said, where it feels hostile and I'm on the defense or I'm afraid. So storyfilelife.com is where people will be.
Storyfile.com. And then you could just go to the life
part. Oh, life will be on the main website.
It'll be storyfile.com/life.
Okay. So Heather, thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so excited about this project and excited to watch you over time and see what you do. This is revolutionary.
Thank you so much.
If you like this episode, be sure to like it, subscribe, and leave a rating or a comment. You can find our other episodes on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and alexkatahakis.com. Follow me at Alex Katahakis on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for listening to the Alex Katahakis podcast. Remember that loving deeply begins with loving yourself.